Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Bet you thought I wouldn't make it back in time. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Hi, Eddie. How are you? I apologize for my tardiness.
Oh, don't worry about it.
But here we are.
I don't feel tardy.
Ah, very nice. Can't go wrong with good Van Halen references. Have you heard the new album, as long as since we're talking Van Halen? Have you heard the new CD?
I think we talked about it, how I had heard it de facto some guy's van. he's playing it very loudly. It sounds, people are giving it good reviews. I mean, not that this is a music show, but people are, seem to like it.
I haven't completely made up my mind on it yet. It's okay. It'll do. It's better than what they did with Gary Cherone.
Oh, God, that was a debacle. That was
yeah.
the Brian Trottier coaching of the Rangers that equated to.
So anyway. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Welcome to Van Halen Radio.
Yes.
On fire!
On fire!
So, anyway, here we are. Appreciate you guys being here Monday night. Rangers, what do we got? We had a bad loss to Buffalo. And squeaked out a win against the Maple Leafs, the Marlies, the St. Pat's.
Oh.
Now, were you... that game was on MSG, correct? Or did you have to watch it on NHL?
Oh, yeah, big boy. Oh, yeah, it was on. Did you see the MSG broadcast?
No, I got to watch it on it was on the NHL network, so it was the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. And I like the Hockey Night in Hockey Night in Canada broadcast as long as it's not against the Canadiens, because that's Berlin Betty right there. It's just you know, it's Tokyo Rose, Nazi propaganda, the whole. But Toronto was great. It was Jim Houston, and I forget who the sidekick was, and then Glenn Healy between the glass. But I said it was with Jim Houston calling the game. It was like a live action version of NHL '97. He did the play by play on that game.
Yes. Now, before I get into the games and this and that, since you didn't listen to the MSG broadcast, I want the audience and the chat room at large to just indulge me for 45 seconds of some of the Ranger broadcast last night. And I want you to critique the 45-second clip here that I'm going to play.
Oh, beautiful.
I want you also to understand there's a play going back and forth pretty furiously at the time, and just critique what they're saying, the segues, and then Sam's just take a listen, folks.
I believe it was 2-1 was the last goal we saw. Hank
Penguins have a game in hand on the Rangers, 1 point behind in the standings. Rangers are 2 points behind St. Louis for first overall in the NHL with a game in hand on the Blues. Blues have played 75, Rangers 74, Pittsburgh 73. Battle for the puck. Callahan comes away with a good play.
And Sam, speaking of college hockey, Boston College beat Air Force tonight, 2-0. Guess who had two goals for Boston College? Both of them.
Chris Kreider?
Chris Kreider.
Wow. Wow.
I would say soon to be a New York Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mentioned in the Leafs broadcast?
Well, in the Rangers broadcast.
During the Leafs game is what I mean. Well, they played. Yeah. I know they showed a tweet from him. They showed it during the Buffalo game, I guess. And then I guess he wanted the Leafs job really bad or something like that, right? And was pretty disappointed that he didn't get it.
Who wants that job? Seriously. Well, they got Randy Carlyle, right? That's their new coach.
For now.
So, what was your take? Let's go backwards. What was your take from the game? You watched it on the Hockey Night in Canada crew, the Toronto broadcast, which is always great. What'd you get taken away from that game?
Well, another benching for Dubinsky. You know, Larry, and I'm going to bring this up because, you know, I thought Larry Brooks wrote in his article today, I was thinking of this as well the other night. And, you know, again, it seems like only certain players get punished on this team. You know,
sure.
Brandon Dubinsky, for the second time in, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I guess, got benched. And for the second time, he got benched and responded because I think he scored a goal in the other game he got benched.
That's right.
But you know.
Well, who do you feel should be benched and is not gets a carte blanche with Tortorella?
Dubinsky. Dubinsky.
I'm sorry.
It's my slowly okay. I turned. Look, how many other players have we seen make bad plays, breakdowns, you know, big mistakes, key mistakes, and they don't pay the price? You know, it's not a, I mean, you know, it's not to take anything away from their overall season necessarily, but I think Brad Richards, we've seen him, you know, go into funks. We've seen Delzato go into, you know, some funks at times. Boyle? Come on.
Yeah.
Stu Bickel?
Yeah.
Dubinsky and Anton Stralman. Has anybody seen Anton Stralman? Anybody? Get John Giannone when he's not doing anything. When he's not wowing us with that dazzling commentary on the MSG 150. Hey, Giannone, let me know where Anton Stralman is. He's been banished.
Send
him to the cooler.
And although Dubinsky was part and parcel for not picking up that guy high on the goal by the immortal Cody Franson. Holy cow, when that it scored, I lost my lunch. But Bickel was the one who initially pinched.
He was pinched deep. I mean,
yeah, he was pinched deep.
You're not Sergei Zubov.
Exactly, Stu.
Get back to the blue line.
I know you got 7 points on the season, but you're not Paul Coffey yet. You know? Dude. So you didn't see Stu Bickel get punished.
Right.
And now, listen, Dubinsky might have, you know, deserved to be punched on that, but still, I don't know. I don't know.
And it's been the same thing for, I mean, this is not something new. This is an old argument. I mean, you know, it was, you know, a couple of years ago it was Enver Lisson. Why is he the only, you know, I mean, we've had this conversation. There are only certain guys that seem to get a punishment on this team. Like Dubinsky, you know. What about Mark Stahl? Matt Stahl. He's got brothers
Stahl.
Who play hockey, by the way. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Maybe in a Tortorella apologist thing, maybe he needs to get on to Dubinsky to get him fired up and bench him. Because both times he's responded. Maybe he's one of those players that needs a kick in the ass. You know? If so, why didn't he start benching him a lot earlier in the season?
Well, yeah, should have benched him in Stockholm off the plane. Remember when they showed that? Remember when they tweeted that real nice picture of them sitting in first class with their fancy decompression suits on? He should have benched them right there, right there.
Yes.
We have reached our cruising altitude of 42,000 feet over the Atlantic Ocean. Dubinsky, you benched.
it's so hard to criticize Tortorella this year. He's kind of push the right buttons at the right times. But you are right. There are a selective few that are his bitches. And that if they make one wrong move, they go to the Chateau Bow Wow. And I don't know if that's done to send a message to the team, because he has alluded to that not necessarily benching a player means he's trying to get to that player. It may be one of the reasons, but he's also trying to show the team that you can't do what he did. Now, was it the mistake of a lifetime? No. But I guess he's trying to get him in playoff shape. He responded. He got a goal, and, you know, to keep showing, and maybe this is the way to get him going. I mean, the playoffs, the Rangers haven't played all that great. Last night I thought they played okay against a team that really is just struggling. I mean, Gustafson looks so bad. God, he looks so out of position and so not confident. And you know, I don't know. I thought the Rangers played good enough to win, and they did. So,
yeah.
In the shootout. But and then they flashed. I don't know if they talked about it in the Toronto broadcast, but they flashed those numbers for Henrik in the last four or five games. I mean, they're kind of worrisome, Jim.
We said the other night, the seven games prior to, I guess, the Wings game, maybe? I think it was the seven or eight games prior to that. His save percentage was like 870 or something like that. It wasn't great. And I said, you know, it's like I said last week, he's been good, not great. But if he's just good and not great, we ain't going far. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, there's always from those Hank detractors who, you know, they're few, but they are out there. The whole notion that Hank can't put a complete season together, do you think this faltering it kind of corroborates that, or basically, maybe I'm trying to kind of rationalize it with this, that the Rangers, although they are playing for first place overall, are not in that desperation mode. And I think it's a whole new ballgame for a lot of these players to be in this kind of position where they're not scrambling to get wins late in the season. I mean, that's the only way. I just see a lot of two-on-ones. First of all, that's the Rangers' fault. That's not Henrik Lundqvist's fault. But, you know, we've seen a lot of times Henrik bail us out of those two-on-ones, and it hasn't been happening. And he hasn't looked sharp. He just hasn't looked sharp. And I'm kind of like one way saying, you know, I hope he gets over it. He goes through the slump now, so once we hit the reset button for the playoffs, he'll be the old Hank and he got this out of his system. Maybe
right.
He's been watching too much Marty Biron, you know? I don't know.
Well, you know, there seems to be, and it's funny you bring it up, there's Hank has his extremists. You know, he's got the detractors that, oh, he can't put together a full season, he's weak on the glove side high, and he's this and that, and, you know, he's not as good as Ranger fans. And then there's the other Ranger fans, the other extreme, where Hank has never given up a bad goal in his life. It's always a defensive breakdown. Never, ever, never.
Right.
You know, a guy could shoot, a guy could come over the blue line, 1-on-4, shoot from the blue line, Hank falls, you know, Hank loses his feet or whatever, drops his glove, and the goal goes past him, and that would be Girardi's fault. There are certain Ranger fans out
right,
there that
yeah.
are like that. You know, he can do no wrong. It's always a defensive breakdown. They will watch the tape of the play 100 times to find up. Oh, Stu Bickel's skate wasn't tied right. It's his fault. That's why they gave up the goal. You know, so he's. Whereas I think, you know, it's harder to find the Ranger fans that'll play Hank right down the middle and be willing to say that, you know, something's not right with him or that was a bad goal. Because you've got these two extreme, these extremists
right.
with when it comes to him. But no, I don't think it's an exaggeration or anything to say that he has not played up to this. Hey, look, you know, he sets the bar very high for us, and I think when he doesn't meet those standards that he set, you know, it's not the same. But this team's only going to. Regardless of how good Richards is playing, and you know if Dubinsky gets benched every game for 7 minutes and then scores a goal, they're only going as far as he takes them. If he's good, not great, you know.
There's a couple schools of thought being bantered around in the chat room that Henrik needs to play a lot in order to be good.
Now
he has been playing.
Well, now hold on, because people that say, and I'm generalizing, but the other side of that argument is when a couple of years ago when he played in the Olympics and took Sweden to the gold medal, everybody said he was tired by the time they got to the playoffs. Right?
Right.
Well, not everybody, but that was where the excuse. He was tired because he took them to the gold medal, and then he was, you know, the Rangers rode him all season, and he was 4 years younger than, or 5 years, however long ago that was, 4 or 5 years ago. So you can't have that both ways. I think they've given him a decent amount of rest. I think they've given him just the right amount of rest, personally.
And another thing, which is absolutely true that they're talking about in the chat room, is the odd man rushes have been they've been out of control the last 4 or 5 games. Early in the season, those things were, we never saw those. I've seen more in the last 4 or 5 games than I saw all previous the whole year.
And they're not odd man rushes. Well, the thing that concerns me is they're not odd man. They're not 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s. They're 3-on-1s. They're 4-on-1. Yeah, they had a 4-on-1 against what was that, against Detroit? Maybe it was a 4-on-1. That's the troubling part. You know, you see a team that's played pretty staunch defense all season long, and all of a sudden you get these breakdowns. And is it because guys are wearing out? Is it because guys are getting exposed? I don't know what. Or is it just because they're not practicing? You know, Torts puts a lot of, you know, he puts a lot of emphasis on that when they're playing every other night like they have been for the last 2 or 3 weeks. There's no time to practice, so you know.
I just see a lot of the defensemen taking a lot more chances. And I don't know if that's because – I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're handily going to, you know, I don't know. They're just in some kind of different mode now, an unfamiliar mode. But they need to sit back and not take chances. I mean, there are certain players on this team I want to see take chances. Stu Bickel is not one of them. You know, it just you got to do what brought you there. I mean, you know, right. What brung you there.
Dance for who brung you.
Yeah, and that's what they have to do. They got to get back to that. I mean, I like I think the offense has been better. The power play looks better. It's a bad break with the Zuccarello injury, though.
Yeah.
I
got home Friday night. By the time I got home, the first period was just about over. And so I hadn't been on Twitter or anything, so I didn't know anything that was going on. And I turned the game on, and I started kind of scanning through the first period because I was home with about 5 minutes to go before the second period would start. So I figured, well, let me scan through the first period, and if anything big happens, I'll go back and watch it. And I got to the end of the first period, and that was when I saw the tweets that they announced that they were already announcing that he had a fractured wrist and was out indefinitely, which I thought was odd for a team that doesn't like to disclose, has decided not to disclose injuries anymore because they're being treated unfairly by the media. That one they disclosed right away. So, and now today, I guess he had surgery. Was it today? I think he had surgery today.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I don't know if you saw the Rangers signed your boy from Boca Raton.
Andrew Yogan.
Right.
He's right at Del Boca
signed.
Vista. Yep. Yogan. Yokamania.
Wow. Going back to the Zuccarello thing, I had the fantasy in my head. I had the whole Ville Leino thing planned out. How he's going to lead us. He's going to get hot. And then, crack, that wrist goes. And you knew it was something bad as soon as the way he reacted.
Yeah.
Yeah, there goes that pipe dream, Jimmy boy. I'm the dream again.
Frodo no moto.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was.
So it's all on you, Yogan. You're the new Billy Leno.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they're saying what they're saying, and it's Chris Kreider, once he gets done, he's going to sign. I think it was Bob. Was it your last show? It told me Bob McKenzie tweeted it. That it was somebody reported that if he said it, then we all know that it's most likely going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to be a. You know, all but the done deal. He's got to friggin' lose already. I think Boston College beat the Air Force 2-1 over the weekend, and he scored both goals.
What was he crying, like 35, playing against 18-year-olds over there? I mean, come on, graduate already. Seriously.
After seven years of college, you get to go play for the Rangers. Come on, what are you studying, pre-law, pre-med? Go.
Well, we know you like to study that Russian. That's what you speak.
All right. We'll get you a Rosetta Stone. Get your ass on the train and get to New York. I'll get Yakov Smirnoff to give you private lessons.
Yeah. He's got his own theater in Branson, Missouri. We can see
yeah.
him. A lot of anti-John Mitchell tonight in the chat room.
Yeah, he's run his course. That was a very brief link
so.
I had with him.
You had a little brief fling with him, and now it's over?
Yeah. It was a, what do they call that, a summer romance, spring fling? You know what it is? I don't even think it's anything. It's just that it seems like there's six John Mitchells on this team.
Well, when they're not playing well, it does seem like there are six John Mitchells on a team. I like to keep my... finger on the pulse of the Ranger fan, John Mitchell. I'm not down on John Mitchell. I know that eventually we can do better. But he's another. You want to talk about people, he's a Torts favorite. I mean, he's a guy, an overachiever. He loves the overachievers. You know.
Is Brian Boyle an overachiever?
He is, really, if you think about it. I mean, his career coming into the Rangers, it was pretty much like he was a bust.
I got to find this post on my Facebook wall about Brian Boyle. I don't think I need to tell you who it was from, giving me the stats and this, that, and the other thing.
No.
I think you're gonna like this. I just got to find it. I had a good response, I thought, anyway. he's been all over my Facebook lately, the last couple of days, talking about pairings and minuses and pluses and where is it? Let me see. Here it is. Defensive. This was a good. The defense pairing of Delzato and Staal does not compute. I like that. Where was the thing he put? Here it is. New York Post reports that over the last 20 games, Boyle has taken 20 offensive zone faceoffs, 192 defensive zone faceoffs. Sort of what I stated on one of your recent talk shows.
We have a talk show?
Apparently.
Is it like the Mike Douglas show?
Merv Griffin. We just coming up next, Jack Hanna.
And Lola Falana. Joey Heatherton.
Oh, if only we could get Lola Falana on this show. As I stated on your recent talk show, hard to score when you are put on the ice only in defensive situations. I said, Frankie, Boyle could take 2,000 offensive zone faceoffs. It wouldn't matter. He is horrible offensively. Horrible. Those 20 goals last year were the fluke of all flukes.
That's exactly right.
I don't care if he took every offensive zone faceoff with two sticks.
He's got the hands of Bree Walker.
I love it.
Already been stated. He's not offensively gifted. Defensively, I think he's great.
Superb.
Offensively, he's a bum.
He's a nightmare.
He's a nightmare.
Everybody, go put them in front of the net with on the power.
Another
fine. Just don't let him hold the stick. Once he gets that stick in his hands, it's all over. Nothing good can come of Brian Boyle with a stick in his hand in front of the net.
Exactly. Once he stands upright, nothing good can happen. The faceoffs he can win when he's bent over, but once he stands up, nothing good can happen.
Justin just said in the chat room, he could take a face-off with a lightsaber and lose.
Well, 50%. He's around 50%. I mean, Stepan is not. They won't even let him take an offensive zone face-off. He's so bad.
Oh, forget it. We're both.
You know, they're like, Arnie, get in there. But, and that Buffalo game was a shit parade, a shit storm, a shit everything.
Yeah, it was.
That was a 2-on-1 odd man barrage. And, couldn't believe how badly that he lost to the same Braves. But a lot of these teams, you know, they're trying to get in the playoff hunt, and they're coming at you. You can't, you can't take them lightly.
Well,
I don't know.
But, you know, the Rangers should be playing a little desperate themselves. They want to hold on. They keep talking about staying there and staying in first place and, you know, being first overall. You know, they should be used to that. It's so weird that, you know, we're still in kind of the same mad dash to the end here, except they're just at the opposite end of the spectrum. That's all. Scoreboard watching. What's this team doing? What's that team doing? You know?
I don't like the fact that the other team seems to be scoring first. I never feel comfortable with the Rangers once they get down. They're a very good team playing with the lead, but it's disheartening sometimes when they get down. I just never feel as confident, and that happened in the last two games. How'd you like that? Something has to be said. The Rangers are winning these games. You know, they won an overtime game the other night, and they won the shootout game. They are winning in a clutch fashion. I mean, I know it's not against the greatest teams in the world, but you got to like Brad Richards and Callahan in the shootout last night. I don't know what Gavrik was thinking on his move. He should just shoot. He should not make any moves when he has a overtime shootout or a penalty shot. Just shoot.
Now they said I couldn't tell from the replay that because they only showed one replay and it was from behind Gavrik. So I don't know what they showed on MSG, but they said on Hockey Night in Canada that the puck was rolling on Gavrik, and that when he went to make the move, the puck, he just lost it. So I don't know if that's true or not. But I couldn't even see it on the replay because the replay they showed was from behind Gavrik, so you couldn't even really see the puck until it kind of fluttered away. Lightning up 2-1 on the Flyers in the second period, by the way.
Oh, that's good news. And what happened in that Devil-Pittsburgh game yesterday? I watched the first period, and it was a goaltending buffoon stick-handling exhibition going on between Brodeur and Fleury. What happened in that game?
Don't know. Didn't see it.
We're a host of a national universal radio station, and we don't know the score about the team behind us. Does anybody know in this chat room?
I know the score. Pittsburgh won 5-2. That I know.
No, that's what I asked.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking, like, as far as, like, something that went on during the game. All I have is this. That's Brodeur.
Marty was wailing out all over the place.
No, I apologize. I thought you were asking me something specific that went on during the game. And
I watched the first period only, and then I fell asleep. Speaking about other teams... You want to bask in some other team's misery while we're atop the hockey world? I have another clip that I've procured just for you and the Blue Shirt Underground Radio fans about the lowly New York Islanders. Here's a report by News 12 about the Islanders. I'm going to play this.
Speaking of some pain there, looking more and more like Islander fans will feel the pain when this team leaves in 3 years, possibly. The Quebec City, how about this? It could be the destination. And today, Quebec City officials said they're going to build a new 18,000-seat arena with the hopes of getting an NHL team. Now, remember, this was the scene last year when more than 1,100 Quebec fans came to the Coliseum to see the Islanders play. At the time, they said, listen, we just want to show the NHL. We want our own team. We're not here to try and send a message to Isles owner Charles Wong. Well, the longer the fight for a new Coliseum goes, I got a feeling we're going to see these folks again. Quebec hasn't had an NHL team since 1995 when the Nordiques moved to Denver. And talk about perfect timing, this whole thing, that new arena in Quebec will be done 3 months after the Isles' lease at the Coliseum expires in 2015.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum. Now, it's funny you bring that up because do you know who BD Galoff is? Are you familiar with him?
Sounds familiar.
He's a writer and he covers the Islanders. He's blogged about them and now I think he writes for. He covers them, I believe, for WFAN and possibly for CBS.com. But he wrote an article the other day, basically, all but saying, you know, there's very little chance of them staying in New York. I mean, really, I'll post this link in the chat room if you guys haven't read it. It was a pretty interesting article. Let me see if I can find any. The fact is the Islanders' situation has reached crisis stage, and all the signals from Wang indicate even worse. He has been silent since August 1st and before then when the Lighthouse project went dark. He has had General Manager Garth Snow install a budget and tie up what was in previous summers an open wallet to pursue free agents. But the unfortunate truth is the Islanders are poised to function at the salary cap floor and tie in key pieces to a rebuild beyond 2014-15. Thick public relations and fan cheerleading will not stick anymore. Any conversation about a venue involving fans and media, no matter the PR goo or political tomfoolery, needs to deal with the fact that there is the strongest likelihood come the end of the 2014-15 season that the Islanders would entertain all suitors for a chance to make their best business decision. The likelihood that a suitor would be outside New York is now higher than ever before. Let me repeat that. The chances they remain in the area are now less than before.
Good riddance to bad garbage.
Look, we've been saying it for years. Why the desperation to save this team? Why?
Because Bettman, that's his favorite team.
No, it's not. His favorite team wears black and gold.
Well, he said he grew up an Islander fan.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Islanders, whatever salary, I forget what his salary is.
He must be the only Islander fan left.
Yeah, him and E.J. Raddick.
And Goldie's locks.
Yeah. That $7 million or whatever it is Bettman makes a year, the Islanders are contributing very little of that, trust me. Very little of that is coming from Uniondale, excuse me.
Come on, man, let's just go. Go now. You go now.
You go now. You've been here 40 years.
Just say the least. Move to another place.
Buy them out and blow it up.
Oh, man, that place is a disaster. I mean, you know, I know that the Islanders are irrelevant to the Rangers right now, and it's always kind of, you know, people say, you know, what are you talking about this? The Rangers have bigger things, you know. No, I don't care about that. I still have piss and vinegar about what the Islander fans and what they said and what they did and how they still act. I want them crying. I want them crying. And I already vowed. Where is Costa tonight, by the way? He never misses a show. But I vow I will be there with my camera when they pack up those trucks. And I'm going to give him the middle finger, and I will urinate on an Islander jersey. A long talk of a man was arrested today.
Yeah. Broadcasting live.
Just enough with those idiots. So anyway, it's going to be fun when they're gone. It's getting close, folks.
Mandar says he's going to be there to tip the truck drivers.
Make sure all their equipment gets safe. Hey, at least maybe somebody can appreciate John Tavares somewhere.
Yeah.
He wants to get the hell out of here as fast as he can. Who does?
And they have they moved to Quebec. As much as I'd like them to be the Nordiques and bring back those jerseys, because I always thought those were pretty cool, I think they should still be the Quebec Islanders. Because then every time they come to New York, it'll just be a little rub-it. Here come the Quebec Islanders. The Quebec Islanders taking on the Rangers tonight.
They are not keeping the Islanders. I can tell you that.
I know. They're not on an island.
How did they frog? Quebec Frogs.
Now, don't insult them. We want to be nice to them.
That's true.
Maybe we'll get them in.
The Quebec Nordiques. So the building, and it is ironic that the arena will be ready 3 months after the lease expires. Like it's already set up.
I wanted to ask you. You were talking about the broadcast on the Leafs. I guess the game against the Leafs. Were they on? Were they like stuck on MSG4 or something? Like were they on the Ocho?
Yeah, we were on the Ocho again.
The Knicks were on. And how did the Devils get a better positioning on the network than the Rangers?
Because Dolan Vision doesn't have a clue. I mean, I think the New York Sets got priority over the Sets played at the Coliseum. The Apples got World Team Tennis got more priority than the Rangers. I mean, I got to do a search. It's like I'm looking for the Lindbergh baby when I'm out here trying to find a Ranger game. It should be on MSG and that's it. It should be priority of the Knicks. The Knicks suck. The Knicks suck. This team is the best in the league, and the best going for be one of the best teams in the league this year, all year, and still no priority over that basketball garbage. I gotta search around, like I'm Magellan or somebody like that.
Magellan.
I'm searching.
Copernicus.
I'm searching like. Search of Leonard Nimoy. Joke.
Search.
Remember that show with that weird music?
Yeah.
Synthesized it with the real loud music.
That was a cool show, though. Anyway.
It was. The first time it was.
It was funny. Against Buffalo, I got the MSG feed on DirecTV. So I was watching I watched the first period, scanned through it, and I watched the intermission and all that. And then they go to commercial right before the second period starts. And the second period comes on, and it's the Buffalo feed. It's like DirecTV switched over to the Buffalo feed. So I had to change the channel, and I found the Rangers feed on one of the center ice channels. It was weird, though. It was strange. They switched the feed in the middle of the game.
Oh, boy, that must have been a treat.
Dan said he's the only one who doesn't care what channel they're on.
Dan, You're so easily pleased. That's your problem. You got to expect more. I want the Rangers on. Because, you know, well, I don't know about your cable system. Once they put them on the Ocho, the color is going in and out. It's brown. The ice is white. The audio is in some kind of telephone hookup. Everything is thrown off. There's a strange buzzing from another planet going on in the background.
And see, well, that's the other thing. You know, a lot of Ranger fans, you know, depending on where you live, depending on your cable system, you might not have three or four MSGs.
Yeah, they put mine on the guide channel, where the guide is. And then I got to deal with, like, some hooky-falooky broadcast. It's like I'm back on, you know, Gordon and Chadwick doing again. When it, you know, every time I put them up a graphic, it buzzes. It's ridiculous. Rangers are over 300 pounds, like...
They're on the Dumont Network.
Yeah.
Waiting for the test pattern with the Indian head.
I need fire. I don't get News 12 on fire, Storm. If I didn't get News 12, you wouldn't have that on the clip I played 5 minutes ago. The only ones will even cover the Islanders. So, you know what? And I want to just say to all those naysayers, we're still number one. And I don't care if we're not playing great. We're still number one until when somebody knocks us off. Still good. And, you know, I think that the schedule favors us down the stretch. What, we got 8 games left with the Rangers? We're in first place. What a season. I think the team is fine. I think the team will be fine.
Well, let me ask you a question. That phone call, 646-478-4692, if you guys want to call in. I think Frankie was on hold, and I think he hung up. He got tired of waiting.
The head station. Rain.
7 games left, right? They got a 1-point lead on Boston, on Pittsburgh. Same amount of games played. How many of the 7 games left do they have to win, do you think? What's it going to take? Are they going to have to win out, do you think? They got to go 6-1? What do you think?
Like 5-2. 5-2.
5-2, 1 of the 5, they got to beat Pittsburgh?
Yeah. That's what I mean, Mando's saying 14 points, got to get 10. You got to kind of let it and point.
Okay,
one.
Well, yeah, that's then he's agreeing with you. 5-2. 5-2.
Yeah,
you
five,
see that? Have you seen the West? The race in the West?
No. Fill me in. What's going on?
Well, you've got Phoenix, Kings, Sharks, Rockies, Flames, all within 4 points of each other for those last 2 spots in the West.
Wow.
Yeah, the East, I mean, the East is pretty, is fairly settled, I think, except for, you got Buffalo and Buffalo, only the 8th spot, really,
Buffalo.
And then it's just positioning. I mean, there's no, you know, you're going to have one team as the odd man out, and then the rest of it's just going to be positioning as far as the rankings go. But that Western Conference, I mean, you got 5 teams all in the fight still. Chicago, they've got a... They're up 5 points on Phoenix in the 6th spot, so they should probably be okay, and they're playing very well as well. But yeah, it's a pretty good race going on there in the West.
I guess that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, we've been in that position before. It's exciting, I guess. I don't know. I'm just so concerned. But, you know, I'm not concerned. I just want to start getting the playoffs underway. I'm like kind of like... These last games are kind of anticlimactic, although we want to, you know, finish first in the conference. But I'm kind of just looking at the teams in that are going to make it and how we match up against them. I think we can beat the Devils. I know we can beat the Devils. You know, I was looking at the Pittsburgh, scouting them. I mean, they've got some incredible forwards, and Malkin is playing crazy. over his head. Their defensemen are not like, you know, they're good. I mean, Letang is certainly very talented. Brooks Orpik's a solid defenseman, although, from what I heard, he hasn't had the greatest of seasons. Ben Lovejoy, as they were named for you. If the Rangers get back to playing their game and Henrik is fine, I really feel that there's not many teams that can beat them. They're built for playoff hockey, and I really do. I mean, that's just the way, that's just the way it's panned out. It's not just a feeling. It's what's happened all season. I just wish they would have that, which I was hoping would Zuccarello would provide, that power play jump that they need, because in the playoffs you're going to need your power play to come through in order to get that goal or two in a clutch situation.
Right.
Been there all year.
Let me ask you this. Assuming the Rangers are top four in the conference, if your bottom four are Philly, New Jersey, Ottawa, and Washington, which one of those teams would you least want to face in the first round? Philly, Jersey, Ottawa, Washington. Which one of those teams would you least want to face? I think Ottawa. Because they've given the Rangers fits.
Yes, they have. But they're having all kinds of goaltending problems. I don't know if Craig Anderson's back yet, but
Bishop got hurt the other night.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Against the Penguins.
They're a little bit young, and they're a little bit loosey-goosey. They might be prime to be picked off in the playoffs. They haven't been playing all that well lately. Erik Karlsson has been. But you're right. Ottawa has played the Rangers really tough. Philly, we've dominated. I mean, they have had no, New Jersey's tough because it's such an emotional thing, but I really think Brodeur is done. I mean, I don't know. To me, he's somebody I think they can get to. I don't know. I'm not afraid of anybody, and I'm kind of like, whatever it is, that's fine. When it gets down to going against Pittsburgh, I think it's the only team that can give us a problem in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid, but if you ask me which one of those teams would I least want to see the Rangers face, I think it would be Ottawa, and most of the chat room agreed with me as well. We're talking about a first-round matchup.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. People are afraid of Washington. I think it's about if the Rangers do play Washington, I think the Rangers have even more motivation to beat them, because of what's happened the last 2 years.
Rangers were going to be in a position, might be in a position to knock them right out of the playoffs in that last game of the season, too.
That would be, I think the Rangers have are emotionally invested in a Washington series. Basically because, they played good enough to lose the last two times, Henrik kept them in the games, but they just couldn't score.
Right.
And then the classic collapse last year in the playoffs when the Rangers were up 3-0. I think the Rangers are, and the Devils, that'd be a hell of a series because of the emotions involved. I just don't see the Devils depth-wise matching up with the Rangers. And to me, Kovalchuk is a little bit of a he just disappears sometimes. He's not a consistent player. He's either a world beater or he's in some other place. And the same thing goes for Malkin. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being stereotypical. I think Malkin's probably won a Conn Smythe. I think he has. So I can't even knock him for that. But Pittsburgh scares me because of the depth. But I'm not. Am I like?
Hello.
There
you are.
Is that his name? Yeah, and he's an excellent coach. And if there's anybody who could come up with a game plan that could beat the Rangers, and to really pick on the things that they do and to isolate how they break out, he would be the one. That's another factor.
Right.
So
best capable of exposing every one of the Rangers' weaknesses.
Exactly. Because the Rangers typically, you watch other games, and I watched that little Pittsburgh game, and I was like, you know, the teams are like, it looks like a normal game. When the Rangers play a team, it doesn't look like a normal game. The way the Rangers score their goals, it's a lot of forecheck. It's a lot of chipping up the boards to get out of the zone. It's different. It's just a whole different animal. But I think the Rangers, if they play that lockdown defense, hold you under 20 shots, it's going to be hard for anybody to beat them if Henrik Lundqvist is on top of his game. So I'm just like, let's get it on. Let's get it on. I'm like Marvin Gaye.
Let's get it on. Now, I got a question, and we could discuss this off the air, too, but I wanted to kind of throw it out to the chat rooms, and since most of our regulars are here. Now, last year when the Rangers made the playoffs, I think we were on – I think we did a show every night there was no playoff game. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Is that – do we want to do that again this year, or would you rather do a post-game show after every game? Which would you prefer to do?
I think the night the in-between is better.
On the nights off?
Because we're so exhausted from watching the game, you're so emotionally invested again in the game. And then whatever happens, whether it's a win, you're giddy. If it's a loss, you're pissed. Then the next day, you're going to try to turn on the radio and hear something about it, hear nothing. Then it's going to well up all your emotions, and then there's going to be our show, and then everybody can call in, just vent and analyze and just pick it apart and just, you know.
And if we do the post-game, then we don't get the people that actually went to the game. Chances are we're not going to have them here with us. So.
Because that's a big part of it, going to the game, and I love to know the feelings of the people at the games. And so I think it's better that we do it on the nights off. That's my personal.
Okay. Either way, I was okay. I wanted to see what you thought, what the chat room thought.
And also, sometimes post-games are good when the range is like, it's a thrilling win, and we all just can't wait to talk about it. So maybe we'll play it by ear, you know, if they win like in triple overtime or something, you know, well, you know, that would be something where I'd be told.
Be 2 o'clock in the morning for you.
Yeah, but still, you know.
Triple overtime, but you can't
sleep.
We'd
all be so excited if they won a game 7 triple overtime.
Yeah.
We would all be so excited we couldn't go to sleep anyway. That's the way
true.
I look at it.
That's true. So, all right, 646-478-4692 is the number. We got about a half hour to go. And are we coming back Thursday night? They're playing back-to-back tomorrow night and Wednesday. Are we coming back Thursday night?
Thursday night sounds fine. I just wanted to make a personal announcement that I'm going to be in New Jersey, in your neck of the woods. I don't know if you saw this. I'm going to be in Garfield, New Jersey. Where is that?
That's in North Jersey.
I'll be at the Garfield Boys Club. Make some jokes now. Mm-hmm. 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 I'll be pulling a Sandusky over there. No,
too soon?
Too soon. No, actually... I am going to be there at a card show on April 1st from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'll have plenty of Ranger cards, rookie cards. I'm going to have the Hagelin rookies, Erickson rookies, Stu Bickel rookies, Callahan, Bensky, I mean, everybody, Lundqvist. I'm not going to
fatherly juices.
The Fatherly Juices will be there.
Fatherly Juices.
I will be selling below book value price to all my Boucher Underground Radio fans and charging double to anybody who doesn't listen to the show.
There you go.
So
April 1st? What day?
April Fool's Day. It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. Sunday. Okay.
Sunday.
Garfield, New Jersey, at the Garfield Boys Club.
Right. Yeah.
Now, how does this work? They do a card, like a card memorabilia memorabilia show, and you have to buy a table or a booth or something.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Like gotcha. They're charging $40 per 8-foot table. So I got two tables for $75.
Is that good? Is that the going rate?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sure the guy will, you know, if people come down just to see me, you know, you don't have to go down and buy a card off me, whatever. That would help. But if you wanted to come down and just shoot the shit about Rangers and show people, man, you know, that we're crazy and, you know, the fans coming down and, you know, the guy will be like, wow, this guy brought a lot of guys down. Next time he may give me a break, you know.
Are you going to have t-shirts with you?
I'll have the t-shirts down there. I'll have signing autographs. I don't know if they have Wi-Fi. I would do a show down there with you. I don't know if the boys club is all
the boys club.
Wow. But I know Mario Morgado said he'd stop by. Dan Cotter said that he lives nearby and might stop by. Now, what the hell are you going to be doing on a Sunday? Hey, come down, you bastard. We'll just talk Ranger hockey and make fun, you know, do what we do. And I was just going to talk Ranger. And I'll talk Ranger hockey, and I'll have the Blue Shirt Underground Radio poster up for the bill. I want everybody to know we're, you know, the people are like, what's this? What's that? Well, guess what? I'm going to be sending mostly Ranger stuff and some Devil stuff. Because it is New Jersey.
Yeah, you got to cater to the.
And I will be wearing my McDonough jersey.
Nice.
Got it all planned out. You also can get a Chad Kolarik rookie card down there.
Fatherly juices.
And so that's my little personal thing.
Okay.
Going on.
I would just want to mention, since we've been forgetting, www.blueshirtunderground.com. You can get a fancy Blue Shirt Underground T-shirt there. You can download some of your favorite clips from the show, some of our great sound effects, a lot of Frankie stuff on there. There's a bunch of different things. All our old shows are on there. Wayne Gretzky, Theo Fleury, the Emil Francis shows, Ron Greshner, who was on 6 hours and talked about everything. So you can find us there. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere. So we appreciate
now, Jim,
that.
What's going on with what's that guy's name? Reutemann? Eric Reutemann? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Eric from the Five Hole. Used to be with the Five Hole blog. Yeah.
Yeah. And then is he featuring us or what's going on?
Oh,
or is that a different guy?
You're thinking about Jonathan Ragus from at New York Rangers Nation,
right?
NYR Nation. He's actually kind of partnered with us a little bit. NYRNation.net. He does a great job. He's got a huge team of writers over there. You can follow him on Twitter at NYRNation. Also, one of his writers is Michelle. She's at CHELLEYSCHOE. That's from memory, so bear with me. And you can also check out fanjunkies.net. It's kind of a social media website that they're a part of. But John and his group, they do a great job over there at nyrnation.net.
Yeah, I checked it out, and I liked what I saw. And, you know, and I kind of appreciate that they're, you know, they have a link for our broadcast up there, which is good. So check them out. New York, NYR Nation, is that the...
nyrnation.net. Yep.
.net. Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a little shop on there. You can.
How about this, Michelle? Is she, you know, she good or what?
Are you asking me if she's cute?
Yeah.
Well, I can only say I've only seen her from the face. She's in our Facebook group. She's cute. She just announced she is with child.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. And all I know about her is that she's very, very short. Like, like 4'11" or something. CCCP is here. Wow.
Yes. She had a gloat that he's beating me in fantasy hockey as I started the goaltender for Columbus tonight. They aren't they losing 6-0 last I heard?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Let me check the scores real quick. 7-1 Detroit. And Tampa Bay and Philly are now tied at 2 in the third period. 18:48 to go. Are you ready for Mandar?
Sure. Who is it?
Hey, Mandar. How are you?
What a great intro. Who is it?
I mean, really. I mean, once you come on the show, it gets 20% more fun and informative.
I appreciate the percentage. Thank you very much.
But you should know that 70% of all stats are made up on the spot.
So are you, where are you? I mean, not physically, but where are you on this team?
He was in Pittsburgh the other night. I know that.
I was actually in Pittsburgh last week on business, and I went to the Penguins Jets game. It's a beautiful arena, the Penguin, you know, Mellon Arena, but it is so nauseating to see the worship of that idiot number 87 there. I mean, they love him more than they ever loved Lemieux, and Lemieux, you know, should have meant so much more to them, but it was so horrible watching the Winnipeg goalies try to play in that game. They lost 8-4, but I'll tell you what I saw in that game. Penguins' defense can be exploited. That's their weakness. I don't care what anybody says about Chris Letang. He's fine offensively, but collectively, that defense, not so good, and Ottawa lit him up the other night, too. The Devils just sucked last night. But I think, you know what, and they got back-to-back against the Islanders, who, other than the Rangers, they don't get up for another team like they do for the Penguins. So hopefully we'll get some help there the next couple of games out of them.
That's true.
That's what it looked like.
And you know the Islanders would love to knock out Crosby. That, you know, they could do that for us. And then they can go to Seattle.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling, too, that when I saw Pittsburgh in the last couple games, they did look as like they did against the Rangers. I don't know. They look like – but I don't know if that's bad or good. You know, maybe they bring their A game when they play the Rangers. I don't
know. Well, I tell you, their defense is very lax. I mean, obviously Orpik hits, and then they got England who hits a little bit, but really – positionally, they're not that good, although I still think they have the best coach in the NHL. Bylsma is just such a great coach. He really is. But
Bylsma?
Yeah, that could be a weakness. And they have that – they were starting that other backup goalie who is worse than Valiquette. So, you know, he got lit up. They were able to outscore the Jets, but they weren't able to outscore the Senators the other night. So Fleury's got to be their Hank. Otherwise – they're susceptible. I mean, they got hot. They're on a hard roll. We'll see what happens now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I agree with you. I'm not. But see, then you got to worry about what they can bring offensively.
Oh yeah. Oh, the Rangers
don't dominate the offensive zone.
Yeah, they can't match the firepower with the Rangers. And I was saying it in the chat room before. The reason why the Ranger defense keeps getting caught pinches because the forwards aren't forechecking like they did earlier in the season. It's kind of a, you know, then it becomes a domino effect. They can't keep the puck deep in the zone, so the puck squirts out right past the hash marks, and all of a sudden the defensemen are trying to keep it in as opposed to being able to, you know, lay back at the points. They get caught pinching, and it just, you know, odd man rushes the other way. But by the way, in that Buffalo game, did you guys see that save by Hank, the save of the season, probably? Did you see that kick save he made? What was it, in the second period?
Oh, yeah.
My God. Unreal. Just an unreal stop with whipping out that left leg. It was unbelievable. And he kept them in until that point, but then they got out of their game plan. They decided not to be patient, and you got number four pinching in and throwing those icing passes around now. And so, you know, we don't get any offense from the blue line other than McDonough. McDonough's looking pretty good.
Yeah, McDonough looks like he's coming to his own offensively. Each game and each week that passes, he seems to join at the right times, and he's getting more confident with it. So I'm looking for him next year maybe to be around the 10-goal range, the way he's progressing. I mean, you know, who knows? But, you know, he's got 6 or 7 this year. He had 1 last year and, you know, 3/4 of a season, whatever it is. So I really see a lot of potential. Ryan McDonough, to me, is their best defenseman, or has been. Girardi has not been as good lately. I truly believe right now Ryan McDonough is the best regular defenseman. And with Stahl, I still think he hasn't hit his stride yet. You know, but still, he's still better than most defensemen in the league. And you're right, you know, Jim brought it up earlier about Strowman. I don't see why Stu Bickel has to play every night. You know, I know he's good, and but the fact that he cannot be replaced, or, you know, they can't put him in some kind of, you know, alternating role with Strowman doesn't jive with me. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
He's somehow, and I don't know how either, he has somehow worked his way into the starting third pair role, and really he's not coming out unless there's an injury. The way, I mean, Tortorella loves him for some reason. He's such a streaky guy, and I guess that comes with, you know, him still being a rookie, you know, but he'll have giveaway upon giveaway upon pinching in for no reason, and it's not as if he's got the speed to get back and cover up for that. But when he plays, I think, within himself, I know that's a cliche, but he really, you know, he's valuable. He'll put a wrist shot on net that'll be, you know, deflectable at least, or get it to the net, and he plays tough. And there's no doubt he sticks up for his teammates, but he's lost the only faceoff he ever took this year, though, so I don't know if I'd put him up and forward again.
Good news on my fantasy hockey front. The goaltender that I started against CCP, Alan York. That's right, Sergeant York.
Dick York
did not start that game. Steve Mason started it. Gave up
6
goals on 28 shots for a 7.86 percentage. Then my dude came in and has given up a goal on 8 shots.
He shut the door. Stop the bleeding.
He shut the door. Alan York.
He's a modern-day Doug Sotart.
Exactly. Mandor, how do you feel about
Alan still available?
Yeah. He was available. I couldn't believe he was still there this late in the season. I wanted to ask you, do you think Strowman is deserving of this semi-benching?
And no, but again, you're getting to the point of the season where he's, I guess, got to have an established lineup that you can't, I guess, keep going back in and out of the lineup. You got to go with your established, set. And the only time somebody else gets in the lineup is now going to be because of an injury. I could see that being the reasoning. Although I still can't see why 10 games ago it couldn't have been changed up, but I don't think you're going to see much difference in the lineup coming here for the end of the season. He's got this lineup. He's got to get them gelling and, basically hopefully on a roll no matter where the playoffs are, who they're going to be facing.
Right. Yeah, I saw you approving of the Tim Erickson play so far. Tim Erickson's been steady, 2 assists in the last 2 games.
I do. I like the he is you know, it reminds me about it. You hate saying it all the time, but he does remind you of your father, his father, because his father never panicked. He was always a steady player. And he's the same way. I don't see him panicking with the puck. I see him, you know, there was a time there where the Rangers were playing so conservative, there was always a 3-on-5 in the offensive zone. At least he was staying at the blue line to try to keep pucks in the zone. But you can tell he's got the goods. He'll be just fine. And that'll be one of the things to look forward to next year, where he's going to come in and play, you know, serious minutes. And you know, that just bodes well for us. It's hard to see him right now in a physical role, I think, too. He's not a, you know, a physical guy, or I don't know if he's much of a shot blocker yet. So he's got to get
right,
you know, tortized, if no, for lack of a better term, you know, about that. But the guy is, you could see he's got the goods. He's going to be a good one. I'm excited to see him on the team, at least for next year.
You know, you said Erickson never panics like his father, and I just, Eddie would say that his father never panicked when he was shadowing Lemieux and let Lemieux score 5 goals.
Well, that's the thing. We always used to laugh at that. It's like, you know, the Rangers are going to shadow Lemieux with Erickson, but yet he scored all the time. I don't know what kind of a shadow job he did. It was, but then again, nobody ever stopped Lemieux in those days anyway. So, you know, you pretty much knew you were down by 2 and you had to go ahead and outscore him somehow.
Yeah. Let me bring Howie on here. He's been holding for a little while. Howie, how are you? How's your wife?
She's good. She's upstairs resting.
Good. Good.
Good.
You know, we're up today, so. Yeah, I mean, it was a rough few days, but she has a big-time headache, but they said that's just as a result of her surgery. But,
Right. Yeah, you know, brain surgery.
So what's your analysis on the last 2 games? What do you think? How about Henrik? What are you thinking about Henrik right now?
I think he's fighting the puck a little. But, hey, you know what? It happens. I think that there's been a couple times where if he would have stood up instead of go down a little early, he makes those couple of saves. You know, the one on that first breakaway, when the 1-0 goal against Toronto, there was nothing he could do. I mean, the Rangers D's taking way too many chances. They're getting a little sloppy, and, you know, how many times can he bail them out? You know,
right.
He'd only make so many moves to help them. But, I mean, it was nice for him to come up with the win. You know, it was kind of stinky that right after they went up 3-2 with that nice goal by Gabrick, that boom, they let Connolly, who's another guy who's 1 concussion away from his career being over, you know, tie it up. But
Sam was going nuts. Jim Connolly's on their 3rd line. A guy like him on their 3rd line. Oh.
People start to think I'm a conspiracy theorist because I've been talking all along, and people, you know, anybody's been reading about me and thinking, what, you know, Bettman pulling his little strings with the Penguins would be easy with the cushy schedule they ended up with at the end of the year. And the fact that ever since that Crosby was coming back, before he came back, everybody started to notice the little calls that he was starting to get and the calls they were getting. I mean, especially we saw it firsthand against the Rangers, even though they manhandled the Rangers left and right. But, yeah, people cracking up. And actually, it was funny because the other night the picture was posted on the NHL Network, like that Toronto had won the game before the game was final.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
We said, yep, Howie's on the pump.
Who was was it somebody from the Devils that was complaining about the refereeing in Pittsburgh or something, or maybe it was somebody else, made a comment like, you're never going to get that call in that building or something, talking about referring to Pittsburgh? Nobody else heard that? I read it somewhere yesterday. A player made a comment about a non-call, and he said something to the effect of, they're never going to call that in that building or something like that, referring to Pittsburgh.
Unbelievable.
Maybe somebody
in the
chat.
You were there. Mando, you were in Pittsburgh. You said the Crosby love was, like, off the charts.
Ridiculous.
Was there any talk of the Rangers? Did you overhear anything? Did you let yourself be known as a Ranger fan?
Well, it was kind of obvious I wasn't a Penguin fan. They scored 8 times, and there was only one person it seemed like that wasn't standing.
They're like, what's wrong with this guy? He does 8 times, they scored, he doesn't stand.
They were selling these T-shirts that said the 3 most feared words in hockey, Sid is back. I said, no, the 3 most feared words in Pittsburgh is Sid is hurt. I don't want to, you know, these and he, and I'll tell you what, he is a little fucking baby. I mean, it is funny. He got touched. I mean, they didn't hit him at all. They didn't even come near him. It's like somebody skated by him, and it was like an incidental bump. And he's bitching at the referee. I mean, you don't see it on TV. It's behind the play. But literally, every time he's on the ice, he is bitching at the referee and whining about something. Meanwhile, I mean, as much as I hate Malkin, but Malkin just is a freaking bull. He doesn't care. They do everything to him on the ice, too, behind the play. I mean, he gives it out. He's a slew-footing bastard. But I'll tell you what, he takes a lot of garbage out there, too. But he doesn't bitch about it. He doesn't go to the referees and cry and moan. The guy just bulls his way through him and like, just makes his will, you know, and he goes in there. But that's why I think a lot of people obviously have a lot more respect for somebody like Malkin than do Crosby.
Harry, what was the deal between you and Sidney Crosby? I know it started with a stick or two, and we're taking a look at it now.
Oh, he just gives a little whack. You know, he's such a little baby sometimes. And, you know, it's the end of the period, and just, you know, I was just minding my own business. You know, I don't know if he's frustrated or what's going on, but, you know, whatever.
But they love him. The guy, you know, that was his first home game back since he's been hurt. So, of course, they were going to be extra special to him that night. So even for the warm-out, when he came out for warm-ups, the spotlight was on him skating around the ice. Ooh, look at Sid. He's stretching. Ooh, look at...
Oh, God.
Off his stick. Oh, it's disgusting.
I'm really starting to hate the Penguins again. I'm kind of regretting going easy on that Penguin fan a couple of weeks ago.
Well,
for me,
jumped the shark.
You see, now it's the sense of entitlement with them. Now it's like, oh, now we're invincible. Nobody can touch us. Everything they do is wonderful. They're bragging themselves about Matt Cook. Ooh, look, now he's a Lady Bing guy. He's only got 10 penalty minutes because we're supposed to, you know, forget about every other cheap shot that he did in the past to get himself suspended 20 times. You know,
right.
They are a bunch of good players. They have, what, Pascal Dupuis on the fourth line. The freaking guy's got 20 goals. I mean, there's no doubt that they're loaded up front, but I tell you what, their defense be exploited, and Fleury's not on every game, just like Hank. They can go just as far.
Pascal Dupuis has a goal for every minute of his Ranger career.
I remember that goal. I think it was against the freaking Thrashers, if I remember right.
By the way, for a minute. Oh, yes, speed, Sam. You look good in that bathing suit, Chris.
Not to Pittsburgh since before the lockout, and all the times I went out there, some of the fans are knowledgeable, but the majority of them, they don't know shit about hockey. They're just on the bandwagon because it's the teams were doing well, and they had Kovalev on the team at the time. They still had Yager, you know, even Lemieux was still playing. You know, he was going through all his problems, but a lot of bandwagon fans, and it's always been that way.
Well,
you know, once Yager was.
What I saw there, and again, it might have been just because it was Crosby's first game back, but that the generation of fans that were in that building right now didn't know hockey before 2005. They had no clue that it existed, for sure.
No. Very, very uneducated fan base, whatever small fan base they have, or bandwagon fans. And, you know, it's the same, and it's the same thing with the Caps. The Caps have the same thing.
Mandar, you didn't see anybody walking around in a Jock Collender jersey?
No, they did have like some mid-70s in their pro shop that I was forced to go into and felt very ill about. I mean, I always have a soft I have a soft spot for Paul Coffey, as Eddie knows, but I could not bring myself to even touch a Paul Coffey Penguin jersey even. But that was the closest I came to almost possibly touching one of that filth up on the wall.
I wonder how the Penguin fans feel about the Rangers. Do they feel like they've got enough playoff cred that and the Rangers don't, that they don't really fear the Rangers? What can the Rangers do? And they've played well against the Rangers. They have Malkin.
The hatred isn't there. The hatred for the Penguins is against the Flyers, without a doubt. And it's not even close. Penguins, Flyers is like Rangers, Devils right now. That's their biggest rival. While the Penguin fans might not, like the Rangers might, you know, but to them, you know, it's the Flyers. The Flyers are the ones that, you know, can eat shit and die.
What about Bruce Golov? He's been playing a lot better lately. Are you maybe? See, I got a feeling this guy. Exactly. And I also feel he's kind of like a hex doll. Like, you know, he could lose it at any moment.
He could hit the wall at any moment?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Lindbergh.
You know, the Rangers are 5-0 against them this year, but that all five wins were basically, well, what, they had three wins against Brizgalov and two against Bobrovsky, right? So, you know, their goaltenders aren't going to make you scared no matter what, but they are playing better lately. But, you know, you can play better as a fifth seed all you want.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about them. I don't know. I just want to get it going. I just want to get it going because I'll be honest with you guys. I'm a little bit, you know, I play all these I'm a crazy Ranger fan. So I'm playing all these scenarios through my head that if we don't do something in the playoffs, this whole season is going to be down the freaking tubes. It's going to be like, what'd they do? Nothing. Because they finished in first and they got nothing. They got to win a couple playoff series in order the maturity for this team to excite and ignite the fan base, give us some kind of satisfaction. Got to get to the conference finals. Got to.
Well, and it's also because they do have the potential for it. They have the players that can get them there. They have to execute. They have to go out there and execute, and they've got to finish well because they're 500 in their last 20 games of playing 500 hockey, but it's not even just the wins. You could win, but they haven't won where they've controlled anything. You know, you never get the feeling over the last month that even when they've won, they haven't won and you felt like they outdid everything, you know, the opposite team. The only time I felt that was against the Devils. You know, last Monday night, really, that's the only game where I thought that they outplayed a team thoroughly. I think they outplayed the Devils thoroughly in that game, even though it became too close. But I never felt they were out of control of that game. Even now, when they're getting a 1-0 lead or something, you never feel like they're in control of the game. They're always reacting. They're never initiating. And that's the nervousness I'm feeling with them right now. I just want to see that turn. I want to see that. I mean, the power play's been shit all year. I have no expectations of the power play right now. But I do have expectation of them going ahead and forechecking them and controlling the play a lot more than they have been.
Yep. I agree with you. But I still have hopes for the power play somehow. I do like the fact that they do score clutch goals. Callahan's been extremely clutch this year. Richards has been extremely clutch, and Gavrik, too. You know, Mario Gavrik's having a really good season. You know, I know the goal totals won't be as probably not as high as his first year with the Rangers, but he certainly, you know, what is he? He was tied for third last time I checked. I don't know where he is now. But he's had a super season. I mean,
I know the Rangers' record in the last month isn't very good, but I'll tell you what. Without Brad, the Rangers have been carried by Brad Richards over the last month, and they don't even get half the points that they've earned over the last month without him. Overall, setting up goals, scoring big goals, and just being a presence on the ice and making the teammates around him a lot better. That's what's happened in the last month with Brad Richards.
Right, they needed that to happen, so
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that you know, he's turning around at the right time of the year, and the rest of them now can, you know, now we're seeing what we paid for.
Yep, and so tomorrow night they play the Wild. Let's get Wild. Eric Christensen again. We get to see our first look at the new EC, the new improved.
Good night, everybody.
On that note, good night, everybody.
We're out of time. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls tonight. We'll call back on Thursday night for the show. We'll get you right on, all right?
Okay. Good night, everybody. Take care, Howie and Mike.
Take care, Eddie.
Howie, best to your wife, right? Talk to you guys Thursday.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.